to Chris Schultz now. Good morning to you.
Hi, Catherine. How's it going?
It's going okay, thank you. I hope it's going okay for you too. You've got a very important segment at the moment, which is to keep us well-fed with things to watch. And you found something on free-to-air and on TVNZ On Demand. This is One Lane Bridge.
Yeah. Have you been watching it?
No, but I'm curious, so tell me more.
Oh, it's a funny show. So my dad was texting me about this all last week. He was like, you've got to watch One Lane Bridge. And I don't generally take TV watching tips from my dad. He mostly watches like Woodstock movies and nature documentaries. So I kind of ignored it. And then I saw a bit of buzz on Twitter about it, so I checked it out, and it's really good. It's so good. I want to say that we might have cracked the formula. We finally made a dark Scandinavian style drama show that we can call our own. You know, this is set in Queenstown, and it makes so much use of the scenery down there. It's spectacular. It makes me wonder why we haven't set more shows down there. The mountainsides and the drone shots are just so captivating. But that's kind of in opposition to what's going on screen. This is quite a grim murder show. It's about an Auckland cop who moves to Queenstown, and there's this bridge, obviously from the name of the show, you can kind of pick up on that it's not a great place to be. A lot of bad things keep happening at this bridge. And the first shot of the show I want to talk about, because it's so brilliant. It kind of hooks you right away. It's this one shot take of three separate accidents that have happened at this bridge. And it's just stunning. It really throws you into the mood of the show. There's some great performances in it. It's full of Kiwi actors, you'll know. Joel Tobeck especially. He plays like the kind of old detective down there who's kind of teaching this Auckland new kid the ropes. But he's always got that twinkle in his eye. Like, which side is he playing? Is he good? Is he bad? You just don't know. But, you know, if you love Twin Peaks, if you liked Top of the Lake, this has got a bit of Broadchurch in there. I just really hope they can keep this going. I've seen two episodes. I think there's a third out now. I watched the first two back-to-back. I was that hooked. I'm really into it. I hope they can keep this going. I'm a little bit wary of throwing all my weight behind it because of what happened with The Gulf last year, which is a very similar show. I don't know if you remember. It was set on Waiheke.
I watched that. I enjoyed that. Did you not enjoy it?
I thought they gave away the twist too early. That was the one thing that put me off. But this feels darker and deeper and like it's got potential to go further. And I really hope that's the case because, we could use a show like this, I think.
Is it just bodies piling up or are there some more depth?
There's a lot more depth to it, yeah. What I really love about this is they throw these kind of moments of Kiwiana in there. There's a bit where there's a, you know, like a typical stoic Kiwi farmhand who's lost his best mate. His best mate's died, and there's a shot of him lying on a bed cuddling his mate Swandry. So no words, just that one scene, and it just conveys so much. And, you know, the Swandry is so iconic in New Zealand, so there's things like that. There's another scene where there's a guy who owns a bistro or a cafe, and he's having a fight with his wife, and he's in the background smashing power with a mallet, and it's so sinister. It's there's little myths like that. There's a gecko wandering across a blood splatter pattern. You know, like just little things like that. They've put a lot of work into making it.
And are the top performances also? Who are our key actors?
Yeah, well, Joe Tobeck, like I mentioned, I think he doesn't get enough credit in New Zealand. Sarah Wiseman's greatness. Adi Walker, who she played like a Westie mate. She had a bit part in Outrageous Fortune, but she plays a role. It's kind of similar to what Amy Adams was playing in Sharp Objects, kind of like a alcoholic mother and wife who's grieving, and she throws everything into this. She's really spectacular in this, but the main guy too, I don't know his name. I think he's a new guy. He's the guy playing the Auckland cop. He's really good too. So like I said, I hope this goes the distance.
Promising. All right, that's One Lane Bridge, TVNZ and On Demand. Is it Sunday night, did you say, by the way?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay. To What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah, so this I wanted to recommend a comedy show because it feels like we could, you know, use a few laughs. And I just haven't found, like, even John Oliver is struggling to find humour in what's going on at the moment. So I checked out a load of comedy shows. I tried Upload, which is the new one from The Office creator, and he's got great credentials, but that was quite cheesy. There's Black AF on Netflix, which they're kind of, they're making the same show over and over again. Run's quite good. That's on Neon. That's from Phoebe Waller-Bridge's writing partner from Fleabag, which is fine. They feel like things we've kind of seen before, but the best I've found is the second season of What We Do in the Shadows. I think we've spoken about this in the past. It's not doing anything spectacularly out of the box from season one. They're just doing the same thing, but they're really doubling down on the characters in the show. You know, this is a spin-off from Taika Waititi's 2014 documentary, the American spin-off. We do one in New Zealand called Wellington Paranormal. But it's just great. There's some phenomenal characters. There's great one-liners. It's so funny. The first episode has this great guest segment. Haley Joel Osment, the kid who from The Sixth Sense, who everyone, like, he's stuck in that role. Really, everyone remembers him from The Sixth Sense from ages ago as a kid. He pops up in the first episode and he gets resurrected. And it's just brilliant. I don't want to spoil anything, but the way he gets resurrected, I'm still thinking about that scene. It's brilliant. I think it's further proof too that, you know, Taika's brand of humor is really taking over the globe at the moment. I don't know how much he has to do with the show anymore. I think he's executive producer. I think Jermaine Clement has more control over the day-to-day running, but there's Taika all through it, you know, like just like there is now in Marvel and the Star Wars universe. He's now taking over too, as we found out this week. So, you know, he's just unstoppable.
I can see dead people. Is that the Sixth Sense kid? Is that the one?
That's the one.
That's what he said, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Okay, finally, in about 3 minutes, if you want, to tell us about the Beastie Boys story, which is on Apple TV.
It's on Apple TV, yeah. No one's really talking about Apple TV, but they're doing some really good things. Little America is their best show. It's so good. Everyone should go and watch that. But, you know, I can't go past a good music documentary. And the thing I've been missing most of all during lockdown, concerts. You know, I used to go to 2-3 a week, and to not go without any for 2 months is kind of killer. So I have been looking all over the place. There was a great Coachella movie that debuted when we should have been able to live stream the concert that's obviously been postponed because of COVID-19. And there was a Lady Gaga benefit show, which was full of ballads and quite boring. But the Beastie Boys story, you know, this is fantastic. This was filmed in front of a live studio audience. It's not your typical music documentary, you know, it's not talking heads with clips and old footage. This is the two surviving members of the band, Mike D and Ad Rock, up on stage and just kind of taking the audience through their career in a really funny, relaxed way. So it's kind of like a TED talk, if you will, but the director of the film, Spike Jonze, who did a bunch of their music documentaries, I think he did their famous one, Sabotage, he's down the back. He's supposed to be queuing up all their videos and their sound clips on cue, but he keeps mucking it up. So there's this great running gag through the show where he plays them at the wrong time and they kind of have this back and forth. Like, he's like a gremlin in the works. But it kind of adds to the relaxed nature of it all. There's some stuff in here too, though, that fans will love. There's stuff I didn't know. I'm a fan of the band. And I didn't know they opened for Madonna when they only had two songs to their name and they went out and just kind of abused the crowd. I didn't know that they'd disowned their first album, Licensed to Ill, the one that made them famous. They didn't like the band they became on that album, and they disowned the songs they were singing and the whole thing, really. You know, they don't shy away from the tough topics, the drug abuse, losing themselves on tour. Oh, I also didn't realize they used to be the Beastie Boys and Girls. They had a female drummer. That's how they started. And the way she left the band was apparently quite fraught. They addressed that. But most of all, what this is, I think, is it's a love letter to their old band member, Adam Yauch, who died a few years ago. He was their mastermind. He was the guy who came up with the band in the first place. He was behind the visuals. He directed a lot of their music videos. And he just sounds like the kind of guy everyone got along with and who could just pick up any instrument and start playing it. He was kind of a bit of a musical genius, apparently, and he saved them from a bunch of sticky situations. So there are moments where they kind of have to take over each other's bits where they're talking, and because they're tearing up too much. So, you know, it's funny, it's also heartwarming, and it's kind of everything you want from